Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm, I'm Kyle Madsen, Joe Brazil behind the glass. We are the Insiders, we're sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and we're hanging out with you until noon, right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento's sports leader. Joe, as soon as you screen that, I'm going to get to him. Mitch is calling. We're getting to Mitch today.
Yes.
He's been on hold combined the last 2 days for like 2.5 hours.
Sorry, Mitch.
I feel terrible.
Yeah.
I feel really bad. And like I said, that's not a Mitch problem. That's a me problem. There's aspects of this job that I'm not great at. The phones is one of them.
Yep.
If you'd like to call us, please do. It's the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. Are you good with ties in the NFL? Who's on your Kings Mount Rushmore? I know who's on my caller Mount Rushmore. It is Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, what's going on, man? Hey, Mitch. Oh, is that me?
Kyle?
Uh-oh. Did I mess it up?
It's me or you?
Oh, shoot.
I think it's me.
You hung up on Mitch?
Nope.
Yeah, I hear you, James. Kyle?
Oh, no.
Oh, that's my bad.
Now we have technical difficulties.
Yeah, maybe it's this.
Call back, Mitch.
Oh, no, I got him. Mitch.
Okay.
No, Mitch, I got you. What's up?
I got you.
Yeah, hey, hell yeah. Hey, we did it, Mitch. Hey, it's Mitch in New Jersey.
You sound
great. What's going on, buddy?
First is the kid with the Mount Rushmore. Mitch Richmond, my name. Cousins, and whatever.
And now, who's the fourth one?
That's a good one. Jason Williams, because he could dribble for a white guy. You know, he's a very good player. Very good playmaker. But just starting out what I said, you know, just do the opposite, you know? Pretty much, you do well, you do the opposite, whatever I say. And with football, with all the injuries yesterday, it just shows you that there's too many games, especially with preseason. I hope we never see, hopefully they never see O'Donnell starting, because then we're in trouble. But I like their rookies. I get it was spreading out. And it's just me. Does Ashton Jeanty look small to you? It looks like Allen Iverson. Well, I hope he's good, like him. Get Allen Iverson of running backs, tailbacks. And you guys have a nice weekend.
There it is.
If Ashton Jeanty is the Allen Iverson of running backs, the Raiders are in a good spot.
They are.
I did not think he looked small last night.
No?
Glad we took Mitch's call.
He's not very tall. That's for sure.
So
Jason Williams is up on that mountain.
Jason Williams.
For okay. One specific
reason. DeMarcus Cousins.
All right.
I forget the other two.
Did he say Mitch and Webb?
He did say Mitch.
Richmond, because that's his name.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And Weber. Yeah, when I said, I was like, hey, man, we're going to get to you right now because we miss you. But he goes, no. He's like, I totally get it. You guys are all good.
Good.
You guys are
I'm
busy.
Glad. You know, we are.
So. Good guy, dude. Shout out, Mitch.
Jesse, is Jesse in there right now? Oh, no. All right. Jesse just texted me. And Jesse, if you're listening, I agree with you 100%. It was the perfect Mitch call.
Yeah.
Just the straight out of central casting. All right. What do we got over here?
We're
watching Little League World Series Midwest Region Championship. We're keeping you updated on ESPN 1320 before we get into how the Trae Young extension affects Keegan Murray. Go ahead.
This kid here at bat looks like he's playing with a fat bat. Like, what is happening? We talk about the big barrel bat. That's a gigantic barrel.
Was it?
Yeah.
That's the same bat everybody else has been using.
I don't. Well, maybe
that
he's just
bat
using
is
a
crazy.
Smaller one.
Yeah.
I want to try it really
every
bad.
Every ball they're hitting is just a rocket.
Yeah.
Yeah. Joe, do you play in a single wall or a double wall league?
Oh, great
question. I've done both. So the one I'm in right now is single, but when I played like competitively, I say that with quotations.
Yeah.
I did double wall ins on Saturdays.
Yeah.
And that's when I felt great because I could hit it far.
It's just ridiculous.
Hey,
it's so much fun on 300-foot fences hitting home runs.
Yeah, dude.
You
just feel like a maniac.
It's awesome.
I've been that guy where I'm standing at second base. And, of course, I worked for Copeland Sports forever, right, for 7 years. So I know all of the bats, right? So I'm standing at second. We're playing a single wall league, and a dude walks up with a F2, and I'm like, yo, timeout. The ref's like, yeah, what's up? I'm like, hey, that's a double wall bat. That needs to go. And they're like, what? Like, yeah, man, like, take that bat out of here. Like, dude, we're a single wall league. You know, we're all going to play double wall. That's fine.
Right?
But you're going to walk up there with a double wall bat.
No, I completely agree.
Yeah.
Should I wait until you hit a pop fly and then I call and say, hey, he's out? Or hit a home run and then, like, hey, that's an illegal bat.
Yeah,
he's out.
As you're doing, yeah, as long as you're doing it before.
Yeah.
We had a guy one time. So I have a friend who is not a, how do I say this? I don't mean this in any disrespectful way because I'm not tall, but he is also not tall, but for real.
Okay.
And he is an exceptional athlete, played football, baseball, had a great arm, hit the heck out of the ball, just not a tall person and super fast, really strong. And we are kicking the hell out of this team in slow pitch, in part because my friend, little lefty, is just a terror. If the ball gets into the gap at all, he's running forever, right?
Yeah.
This guy comes out, and we're 19 or 20 at the time, and this guy comes out and asks to ID check our entire team because he doesn't believe that this person is 18 years old.
Oh, no.
And it's like, I'm sorry. It's like, you want to, okay, so let's say he's 15.
That makes
you're it, ready to ad, oh my. You're ready to admit to the world.
As a grown man.
As a grown-ass adult. That you're getting your ass whooped by a person you think is a child. Like, brother, that is unbelievably disrespectful, first of all. And then second of all, what's your goal here? You gonna feel good about that? Like, okay, double wall bat versus single wall bat. Okay, double wall means it's literally exactly what you think it is. There's like another wall of bat behind the outer wall of bat. So when the ball hits it, it springs off.
There's a trampoline effect off the first layer of the bat.
Yes, thank you.
Right? So the first layer of the bat is super thin, mm-hmm. and there's a trampoline effect off the bat.
Right.
Right? And a lot of times, double wall bats like that, they're two-piece bats.
Mm-hmm.
So they're the bat with the handle that goes into like there's a rubber sleeve and then another hand mm-hmm. and then the barrel of the bat.
Mm-hmm.
They're just hotter bats.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So in most leagues, they either use a limited flight ball or they use single wall bats.
Right.
They don't do
or
both.
Or else every contact is going over the fence.
Yeah. You don't use a like
and it's dangerous.
A single wall bat and do a restrictive ball because the ball turns to mush, especially when it's hot and it's been hit five or six times really, really hard.
So with the single and double wall bats, I don't mind. We're all playing, let's all play the same. Right,
like,
right.
And
let's just all make sure we're playing the same game here.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
All right. So there's that and that I don't mind. Trying to roster snitch.
No, that's
crazy. Out, dude. There's no amount of I would rather lose than be like, yeah, we won because we roster checked them and got them.
Yeah, got them. Got him.
Cool, dude.
Dude, 17.
Good win. I'd rather tie than win because of a roster check.
That's right.
The umpire could come over to me and be like, their roster's bad. I'd be like, all right. Tough. Like, we'll do better next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, shout out to Slow Pitch Softball. I don't think the Hawks should pay Trae Young. I was thinking about this yesterday because D'Lo and Casey have been talking about stars who haven't gotten extensions yet. That's clanging around in my head, and I'm like, man, I wonder why they haven't paid Trae Young. And then it kind of dawned on me that maybe they don't want to. Maybe they're looking at a core of Dyson Daniels, Jalen Johnson. They brought in Nikhil Alexander-Walker. They have Onyeka Okongwu in the middle. They have Kristaps Porzingis. And maybe they're looking at this longer term and going, hey, we kind of think Jalen Johnson's the guy. And we think Dyson Daniels' offensive game is going to improve, where having a $60-plus million point guard who's good, doesn't play a ton of defense, is streaky as a shooter, really incredible playmaker, really awesome playmaker, but, man, just such a negative defensively that it's going to be really difficult to ever field a winning team at $60-plus million. That wouldn't shock me at all. And I kind of think it might be the right move.
Yeah, man, you have got to be absolutely positive if you're doing one of these deals. Mm-hmm. And like, look, I think when, like, let's just look at Zach LaVine, for instance. I think when Zach LaVine got his extension, he was coming off a really good season, and it made sense for the Bulls because they were building, they thought they were building something, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think what's happened with the Hawks is they have built something, and that something they built doesn't have to include him.
I agree.
And so it's like he's a nice luxury to have. He's, you know, he's your best player still, but there's also a way in which you could have a better best player.
Well, and they're also in a spot where, and we talked about this yesterday, about how the Austin Reeves thing. He's going to opt out, and he wants $30+ million.
Yeah.
We talked about how teams might adjust how they're paying players. But I also think we might see this, where the Hawks don't have to pay Trae Young. They
no.
can, but he's at 45.999 million dollars this season. And then he's got a $48.9 million player option next year. What you just said is they've built a team that may or may not need him to win. They can test that theory this year. They have that opportunity
mm-hmm.
where they can go out and maybe the Hawks win 52 games this year. And man, Trae Young was an all-star and an all-NBA guy and an MVP candidate, and he orchestrated this awesome offense and their defense was just locked down, and they had the right pieces around him that it didn't matter that he's a negative defensively. All right, we're good with this moving forward. Here's your $60+ million annually.
Mm-hmm.
They can just wait. They can test it out this year.
Yeah.
They don't have to go, here's your extension now, and then get halfway through this year and go, oh, God, we're at our ceiling with him, and we're not going to be able to move the contract. Yeah, you just wait. 45.9 this year. He's still getting paid.
Yeah, and he's under contract next year. He's at 46. He has a player option at $49 million next year.
Mm-hmm.
You don't opt out of a player option unless you know you've got something better. And they can extend him next summer. And even next summer, his extension would be bigger,
mm-hmm.
right? Because you could get him, if you're the Hawks, up to a 5-year extension
right.
on that deal. He's only 26 still. So, like, there are a lot of things that, like, Trae Young, I like about Trae Young, but mm-hmm. this is exactly why the Kings said no. Like, because, like, there was potential for Trae Young to come to Sacramento this summer.
Yeah.
Like, there were conversations. There was, like, and Scott Perry said, yeah, we'll pass.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because they knew the second that he landed in Sacramento, he wanted his money.
Yep.
He wanted the what De'Aaron Fox just got.
Yep.
And I think that we're getting closer to a point where I don't know that there's going to be as many $30 million players, but mm-hmm. if there are, it's for a specific reason. It's because the guys who you thought were going to get max money deals, the guys that were going to get the 60, 70 million bucks a year, you're going to be more like cut and dry with those guys. Your standards for what it is to get that extension are going to change because, again, this isn't to beat up Zach LaVine, but Zach LaVine isn't worth $44 million, $45 million.
Mm-mm.
47 is what I think he makes this year and 49 next year.
Mm-hmm.
He's not worth that to the Sacramento Kings and their roster construction.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem. Like, I'll keep saying this. I don't have a problem with Zach LaVine as a player, mm-hmm. but if Zach LaVine was making $30 million, he could be here for another 5 years. Like, I don't care.
Right. That's it. In this financial environment.
Yeah.
The NBA's financial environment, not ours, but in the NBA's financial environment.
Yeah.
It's those contracts that start to get north of 28, 29, 30 million start to get prohibitive.
Oh, yeah.
Because of what it takes to win and the cost that a player like that comes with getting up towards the cap, towards the tax, towards the aprons, what's the cost of being at the apron? It just gets really, really tough for that very specific kind of player.
No, it does. Mm-hmm. And it's why, like, if we rewind the De'Aaron Fox trade,
mm-hmm.
we should probably talk about this after the break, but if we rewind the De'Aaron Fox trade, mm-hmm. look at how the Kings would be sitting today
Sure.
With a Kevin Huerter expiring contract and a Zach Collins expiring contract that just happened to fit exactly into the deal that you would be looking at with the Golden State Warriors. You would have the player that they're looking for in a Kuminga deal, the type of expiring contract that they can go use to go get something else.
Right.
But that's not the situation you're in. Mm-hmm. You're pinned to the luxury tax. You're right there.
Yeah.
So tough.
I think this ties into the Keegan Murray conversation.
Yes.
And we can continue this on after we pay some bills. He's James. That's Joe. I'm Kyle. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
Home.
Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Give me a second. I'm having the time of my life over here.
Uh-oh.
All right. James is
now,
there.
That's back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Thanks, Joe. That's Joe Brazil. He's on the ones and twos. He's doing a great job. That's James Hamm. He's also doing a great job. I'm Kyle Madsen, and I showed up to work today. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We're going to be here till noon. And we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. Actually, the handoff is coming up in about 25 minutes. We'll chat with D'Lo and KC. Let's actually, for now, let's put a pin in the... We got to talk about the Niners preseason game on Saturday.
Okay.
But I want to continue this talk we were having about Trae Young and the Hawks not paying him this offseason and why they wouldn't. And just kind of the changing landscape, and I think we see this in the NFL a little bit with the way quarterbacks get paid. For a stretch of years from like 2010, maybe before then, 2012 maybe, through the last couple of years, it was the next quarterback to get paid got the biggest contract. And that's just what it was.
Yeah.
If you were a starting quarterback who a team wanted to keep around, you were getting paid the highest amount of money. You were resetting the market.
Yep.
And I wondered at the time, hey, is this ever going to stop? At some point, a team is going to run into a quarterback. Baker Mayfield was the example I would use, where, yeah, the guy's pretty good, but he's not top of market good.
Yeah.
You want him in the building because it's hard to find a better player, but you're handcuffing yourself if you're paying that guy however many millions of dollars a year. And sure enough, we've seen the Lions with Jared Goff. We've seen the Dolphins with Tua Tagovailoa. We've seen the 49ers with Brock Purdy go, we're going to pay you, but we're not giving you Dak Prescott money at the top of the market.
Yeah.
We're not even giving you Joe Burrow money near the top of the market or Josh Allen money. You're good. We want you around. But in order to continue building this football team, you have to be down at this level. If we're going to win Super Bowls with you, we need you down here to give us that wiggle room financially. And I think that's what the adjustment we're going to start seeing in the NBA. And when it's not all going to happen at once, but I think we're slowly going to see these teams like the Hawks go, hey, we could pay Trae Young right now. The Grizzlies with John Morant, we could pay John Morant right now. But we can kick that can down the road, and we're going to. Because there's still some stuff we want to see before we're going to commit this much money to this person. And Trae Young is not, if the Hawks come to Trae Young and say, hey, we think this is better for all parties if we give you 5 years, $200 million. He's not taking 40 a year. That's less than he's making right now. Even if it's better for the Hawks in their team building. Trae Young's going, no, I want that De'Aaron Fox deal. I would like that, please.
Yep.
And I get why the Hawks would be like, we're going to wait on that. And I think we're going to start seeing more and more teams do that. So it's a different scale, obviously. But I think it's a very similar conversation, or it's in the same vein of the conversation that we're having and are going to continue having about Keegan Murray. Because Keegan Murray, is a really, really high-level player.
Mm-hmm.
He is a really, really high-level 3-and-D wing where you feel good about it when he's taking a corner three, and you feel good about it when he's one-on-one against Steph Curry or Donovan Mitchell or whoever. Like you feel that type of player.
Mm-hmm.
But it's easy to just go, yeah, just max him out then. Want to keep him around? Got to give him the max. That rookie scale max. Yeah, do it. But I think if you're the Kings, you're going, hey, man, we kind of think that you're a 3-and-D guy who's not going to really develop as a ball handler, and we don't really envision that role for you. You might envision that for yourself, but we don't really envision you in that role. So how about 23 a year? $23 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? And I don't know. I don't know if Keegan takes that. And yeah. That's the calculus that the Kings are I think doing right now.
Well, here's the crazy thing too. I mean, basically Keegan was drafted the year after Kuminga, right? So Kuminga just finished his fourth season. No.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And Keegan is about to enter his fourth season.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So we're basically looking at two players that are in some way in similar situations where, mm-hmm. like, the expectations before the first and second apron were, oh yeah, you're just gonna max that guy. Like, yep. He looks like a max rookie scale extension player.
Yep.
Now, like, the dynamics in the NBA have changed so much, where, like, again, Kuminga wants 25 to 30 million. That's what the initial thing was. He wants 25 to 30 million. Now he just wants out of there. Now he's willing to accept a 3-year 60, what was it?
63, 21 a year?
Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm. From the Kings. He's like, yeah. Oh, you know, I want that deal. I want that deal. It's like, hey, where were you a couple of months ago when it was like, hey, you want a 4-120 mm-hmm. or 4-130? Mm-hmm. Like that's kind of off the table. Mm-hmm. And so I think just the economics of the NBA are changing. They're evolving so quickly in front of us, mm-hmm. that if you are a team who goes out and does a De'Aaron Fox deal, there's almost no way that deal works out for the Spurs. Like, in all honesty, like, mm-hmm. I'm not sure what you think, but he's as a 32-year-old, De'Aaron Fox is going to make $63 million.
Mm-hmm.
And is he a top 5 player in the league? Is he a top 8 player in the league? And like, look, I want Fox to get as much money as possible.
Totally.
But you're still looking at that deal, and people are like, oh, well, if that's the case, you can trade him. It's like, the hell you can.
Yeah, the only way you're trading him is if he's awesome, like second team All-NBA this year.
Yes.
You might be able to trade him, but you would only trade him if Dylan Harper is awesome and Stephon Castle are awesome, and those guys all play the same position. So if those two other guys are awesome, it probably means De'Aaron Fox wasn't.
Yeah, and this is not a slight on De'Aaron Fox, but he's a one-time All-Star.
Sure.
And the one-time All-Star, he wasn't voted in. He was an injury replacement.
Right.
And you're paying him $63 million in 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is wild. Mm-hmm. And so I think the economics of the league are changing. Good for De'Aaron for getting his money now.
Absolutely.
But I think he's also in a situation where just their salary cap situation mm-hmm. is pretty good for the next couple of years. Because, again, when Fox falls off the books, that's when Dylan Harper, yeah. you know, would have his contract, his next major contract. And even at that point, you're not going to pay Fox, you know, whatever money on top of $63 million, another extension that pays him 70 to 80 over the next 4 years as he ages, you know, as he hits his 33, 34, 35, 36 season. That's not going to happen. So I think the dynamics are shifting and changing so fast, but we're seeing it right now with Kuminga. We're seeing it right now with Giddey and with Cam Thomas and with Quentin Grimes. But we're also going to, I think we're going to start seeing it. We saw it with Jabari Smith Jr., who got a really nice extension, but a 5-year 121, is that what it was? So it's like $24 million, $23 million a year.
Jabari Smith?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's where he's at. And then it's like, what exactly are you going to get for Keegan Murray? I think it's going to be similar. I think it's going to be, maybe he makes a little bit more because Jabari Smith is playing on a team that has other players. Go ahead.
So Jabari Smith was a 5-122.
5-122. And mm-hmm. what's that work out to? You know, like,
I don't know. I can't do that off the top of my head.
24.4. That seems to me where it's going to be more around what Keegan's going to make. And, you know, if it's a 5-125, okay, $25 million a year. And the reason why you're going to pay that if you're the Kings is, number one, there's potential for him to be to outplay that contract.
Yeah.
There's also potential for you to move on from that contract at any time because it's a reasonable contract for a player of his ilk.
Right. And if he is, and this is where, and it's really difficult to have this conversation because when you say the Hawks shouldn't pay Trae Young, it's the Hawks shouldn't give Trae Young $60 million a year-ish.
Yeah.
That's my take. I would gladly take Trae Young on my team. Probably not at that price.
No, again,
because of the financial landscape of the league,
yeah,
it's forcing teams to reevaluate how they evaluate talent
mm-hmm.
and how they pay that talent. So with Keegan specifically, if you're paying Keegan Murray $24 million a year, I feel really good about that because you just said there's a chance he just outplays it. You're going, man, that's a good-ass deal for Keegan Murray.
Mm-hmm.
But even if he doesn't improve, $24.4 million for a guy who's going to give you 12 to 15 points a night, he's going to shoot 37-ish percent from three, so teams have to guard him, and you feel good about him guarding 1 through 4 on the opposing team.
Mm-hmm. And Jokic.
At 24, and apparently Nikola Jokic. At $24.4 million for a starter who's playing high-quality defense, who is not a negative offensively,
mm-hmm.
and in some ways is a plus offensively, $24.4 million for that player is like, okay, that's reasonable.
Yeah.
That's a very, that becomes a very now reasonable contract.
Well, that, and the reason why, like, that dollar figure, it's the dollar figure that Kyle Kuzma has been in. It's the Cam Johnson dollar figure.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit lower than the John Collins dollar figure, but it's a contract that you know that you can move, that mm-hmm. those contracts are movable every step of the way. And so, like, he's not going to be an albatross on your roster. Where, like, right now, as of right now, like, I don't consider DeMar DeRozan as an albatross contract. Nope. It's a, you know, it's a one-year deal at $24.5 million with a $10 million, you know, buyout for next season. You mm-hmm. can pay him $25.5 million, or you can give him $10 million bucks, and he won't play for you, right? Mm-hmm. That's a reasonable contract for a player who can go out and score 22 points a game, but who doesn't play great defense and is going to be 36 years old this season.
Yep.
That's fine. But you look at Zach LaVine's contract, and there's almost no way for Zach to live up to that contract. And I don't begrudge him for having that contract.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that someone else signed, and because he deserved it at the moment that he got it, but it just makes it so prohibitive to build a team around him.
Yeah, and that's just reality. That's not dogging Zach LaVine. That's the reality of the situation.
Well, yeah, and this is what, you know, at the end of last segment, talked about this a little bit, but, like, look, if you just traded De'Aaron Fox to the Spurs last year
mm-hmm.
and you did not involve the Chicago Bulls,
mm-hmm.
that means, A, you kept Kevin Huerter in that trade. So you have Kevin Huerter's $18 million expiring or $17.5 million expiring contract right now,
mm-hmm.
right? You also would have taken back Zach Collins in that trade, and you might have had to take back one more player. I can't remember what it is that the Kings actually did get. It was just other stuff, right? In order for the Spurs to match salary, you would have taken on one more of their players.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, it's the reverse of the Chris Webber trade. So you remember Chris, the Kings traded Chris Webber to the Philadelphia 76ers.
Mm-hmm.
And in that trade, they brought back Corliss Williamson, they brought back Brian Skinner, and they brought back Kenny Thomas. And they broke his contract up into thirds, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so now you can move these pieces a lot easier. Right now, the Sacramento Kings are sitting here. If they had an $18 million player on an expiring contract, Jonathan Kuminga would have already been traded to the Sacramento Kings.
Yep.
I guarantee it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the fact is, right now, the Golden State Warriors don't want to take on Malik Monk and 3 years of Malik Monk.
Correct.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then you don't have another player like that.
And they would feel good about, just in case anybody's wondering, just to pause you real quick, the reason they would feel good about then going, okay, you can lose Moses Moody or you can lose Buddy Hield to take on that contract
yeah.
is because you're going to flip that contract to fill that spot.
Well, that and
ideally,
and even in that situation, Kyle, there's a good chance that they would say, okay, hey, we'll take both of those guys. We'll take a Zach Collins and we'll take Kevin Herter. They're mm-hmm. both expiring contracts. Mm-hmm. We'll take both those guys off your books and we'll give you Moses Moody in that deal, because then they now have roughly $36-37 mm-hmm. million in expiring contracts right. and a first round pick.
Yep.
And they can go out and they can trade that for whatever.
Right.
Right. But the fact is, that's not how it went. That's not what the Kings did. Mm-hmm. And that's why the Levine contract, and again, this isn't a dig on, it's the contract that's the bad thing. I don't mind him as a player. I mean, he doesn't play defense, and it's tough to, you know, have a perfect backcourt pairing with him. But
if Zach Collins was making, that was on RJ Barrett's contract at $26.75 million.
Yep.
We're not talking about Zach Levine.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If Zach Levine was on that contract. Yeah. No, not at all. You said Zach Collins.
Oh.
That's why I'm like, give Zach.
Okay. Zach Levine.
I'm like doing like advanced.
if Zach Collins was on a $26.75 million contract, then salute to him. I'm still punching him in the mouth.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Even if Zach Levine was making $32 million, mm-hmm. it's that extra $15 to $17 million that the Kings literally, they can't stomach right now.
Right.
I mean, even De'Aaron Fox, if you don't make the trade, De'Aaron Fox's contract was so much less mm-hmm. than Zach Levine's contract. Mm-hmm. We're talking $10 million less. Mm-hmm. That $10 million is what we keep talking about, that you know, like sort of moving piece that you don't have. Mm-hmm. And so it just really, really hurts the Kings that they have a secondary guy who makes that much money, or your highest paid player now makes that much money, even opposed to what you know you would have paid Fox for this season.
Yeah,
it's just that giant leap in contract is really, really tough to maneuver.
Yeah, I'm looking at Jaden McDaniels' contract as a comp for Keegan Murray, just as a player. They're almost the exact same age. They're like 2 weeks apart. Jaden McDaniels makes $26.2 million annually. I think he's a little bit better defender than Keegan, but I think Keegan's a little bit better offensive player. Mm-hmm. So it kind of comes out in the wash. So just to, if you're getting him at $24.4 million, I'd feel so good about that.
Yeah.
It's if they're maxing him out where you start to go, all right, well, if you're doing that, you're going to need to get more from Keegan.
Mm-hmm.
But to your point, I don't think we're going to see a world where Keegan gets substantially worse. Even if you're on, and you and I and Kenny have talked about this in previous handoffs, but even if you're on Kenny's side of the Keegan Murray thing, where, hey, you know what, there's not a lot of room to grow offensively.
Mm-hmm.
He can make more shots, but this version where he's putting the ball on the deck and dribbling, like, you know what, we're just not there. That's fine. At $24.4 million, that's fine. You can be a 3-and-D wing at $24 million and be an effective player that nobody ever worries about how much money you're making.
Yep.
So that's where I kind of come down to, and that's why if in the current landscape, I think that's where if I'm the Kings, I'm very, very comfortable landing, because I don't think Keegan's going to become a bad player. I think he's too good.
Yeah.
But even if he doesn't become substantially better, at $24.4 million, at the player he is right now, if he just stays stagnant for the next 5 years, nah, fine.
Yeah, you would hope that he's around 15 points per game. But yeah, yeah, stays stagnant right around that.
Do you know what Jaden McDaniels averages?
12.
12.2.
Yeah.
Season before last, 10.5.
Yeah.
Year before that, 12.1. But he was second team all defense in 23-24.
Yeah. I would definitely... he can take a step. He can take a leap offensively. Keegan
sure.
can.
Sure.
Yeah.
And if he does at $24.4 million, then you're getting a bargain.
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't at $30-plus million, you got a little problem.
Oh, yeah.
But anyways, we'll continue talking about this. We have a 49ers game on Saturday that we'll talk a little bit about during the handoff. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. D'Lo and KC going to join us for the handoff next here on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320, and that is Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader. Now, back to the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
We pulled a D-Lo on Casey today.
How so?
Never got to the 49ers.
Oh, it happens. That's all right. It happens.
So this is
that means y'all were vibing.
Yeah, this is how it started. I think the Hawks are doing the right thing not paying Trae Young right now. There's no need to do it right now. I think they have a really good foundation around him.
Okay.
And I think that you can play out this year, see how it goes, and evaluate it after seeing him play around this group of Dyson Daniels, Jalen Johnson.
Evaluate it till February? Doesn't he have a player option next year?
Yes.
Oh. Okay. You don't think you're flirting with fire there?
I think if it goes sideways, then cool, bye.
Really?
Let someone else pay him $60-plus million, yeah.
Plus, let's be honest, in today's NBA, the only way he's going to get that money from someone else is if you help him.
Yeah.
Like, it is what it is. Like, he's going to need a sign and trade in order to go get that money. It's tough.
Huh.
We're talking about, like, just the overall dynamics. I think you're going to be a lot more like baseball arbitration. When it comes to, hey, is he a max money player? Is he a $30 million player or is he a $22 million player?
Well, and I likened it to quarterbacks because there was a stretch of years there where the next quarterback to get paid just got the most money, mm-hmm. just reset the market.
Right, yeah.
And I think what we might be seeing in the NBA, and this is going to take some time because teams have to adjust their salary caps and maneuver accordingly, but I think what we're going to see is with players like players outside of the Jokic, Luka, LeBron, Steph tier, the players a tier below that, teams have to really evaluate, okay, is this better for our team to pay this guy max money or can we give this guy $40 million a year? Can we give Trae Young 5 years, $200 million? And feel better about building a team around him.
So is it Trae or the fact that you haven't built around him in
That's why I think you don't do it now. You see how this is, because I think they've built around him. I personally think they've built the right kind of team around him this year. And so I think you can kind of see. Oh, sorry, Kenny. Kenny Caraway's here.
I was listening.
Yeah.
And I agree with your how the NBA looks at contracts and looks mm-hmm. at how things are going. I think it's awful. It's what we were talking about yesterday mm-hmm. or the other day.
Yeah.
Like if the Hawks get rid of Trae Young, they will spend the rest of their time looking for another Trae Young. As good as they think Jalen Johnson is sure. and Dyson Daniels, they'll be like, oh man, you know, this team, they got some good pieces. What they need is they need that number one mm-hmm. that's going to get them 20, 25 every night.
Mm-hmm.
And you got rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because you didn't want to pay a luxury tax. I understand the aprons because that's just such a messed up situation because mm-hmm. it starts to mess with what you can do as far as transactions.
Right.
But this is the whole point. Like, we've lost the plot of what we're supposed to be doing out here. Mm-hmm. You should not be getting rid of a Trae Young. Mm-hmm. You should be building around. Sign him. He's 26 years old. Sign mm-hmm. him for 4 or 5 years and try to find pieces around him.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's easier to find Dyson Daniels than it is guys that can get you 29 to 42 points mm-hmm. any given time.
Sure.
That's why they get paid the money they get paid.
Sure.
There's a reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it's not what you're saying isn't wrong at all.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what I hate about where we're at least in the NBA.
Sure.
Like that's to me that's just dumb. Like man, I don't want to pay Trae Young you're not going to be a better team. Like you might went around in the playoffs, but mm-hmm. you're going to get back to the point where you're looking for Trae Young.
The teams are going to be backed into a corner because of the CBA where they have to actually ask.
I just think that teams are going to have to start, and maybe the league as a whole, they're going to have to start assessing players realistically and not just saying rubber stamp max money.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's rookie scale extensions or it's like a guy like Trae Young, it's like, yeah, the Hawks are going to be looking for Trae Young. But they're looking for Trae Young at $45 million for the next 5 years. They're not looking for Trae Young at 70, 65 to $75 million because it's just so difficult to, you know, again, let's just look at the $65 million. That's a $20 million player that you can't have on your roster because you have him. And if you're looking at a $30 million disparity, he's making $75 million at some point, and that's what his extension would look like. And that's another $30 million player that you can't sign because you have him.
But he's a guy who can get you double-digit assist in 30 points a game.
Yeah.
Totally. Well, that, but if he's got to be able to do that and get you to the Eastern Conference Finals or get you, you know, two rounds in every season and you're
well,
fighting.
Well, I don't buy it, but he did.
Is he a tier one guy?
A couple of years ago.
Tier one?
Yeah.
No.
And that's okay.
But there's like four or five tier one guys in the whole league.
Yeah. Right. Right. And that's what I think that's what this is not an anti Trae Young thing. This is what Kenny's talking about, where teams are not trying to mess with the aprons. So they're going, okay, we have to evaluate who we're paying.
Well, and if that's the case, these aprons are a disaster.
Yes.
They're absolutely a disaster.
Yes,
if that's where this league is,
that is where I think it's going.
They have created something that is completely counter to what they have tried to establish for the last 10 years.
Yes.
And that's keeping guys from leaving for L.A. and New York and all of this different stuff. If you're just going, if you're in Atlanta going, oh, we can't keep them.
Yeah.
And to the point of, oh, I want to find Trae Young for $45 million. Mm-hmm. That sounds great. Mm-hmm. In the open market, Atlanta's going to have to pay more than $45 million.
Sure.
Like, if you get sure. to a point where everybody, New York could get him, L.A. could get him, the Warriors could get him, and it's open season, like, pay whatever mm-hmm. you want or whatever you can, they're going to end up paying $50, $60 million.
Well, but that's the thing. That's why the collective bargaining agreement was so Atlanta could do that. It wouldn't be more per. It would be the added year. Mm-hmm. But they have found a way to blow that whole thing up.
And Jason Jones said it perfectly. This is giving the owners a reason not to spend money,
right.
not to compete.
So that was
that's what this is all about.
That was the whole thing with the second apron was in Golden State when I was at 95.7. Everybody's like, oh, Lakeham's gonna hate this because now he's not like, no, he loves this. He wants this because when they get to this situation, they can afford to just go, well, no, the
now,
aprons,
I can't do it. Yeah.
The aprons, I just can't. It allows the owners to keep pocketing all this money and go, hey, we're not, we talk about this with the Kings, with the luxury tax. It's the same kind of idea, but with the apron, it's like, hey, we don't think we're a title team. We can't go that high because now we're tying up draft picks. Now we're paying like, oof.
Then you've got to redo this whole system.
Yeah, I completely agree.
If that's truly the case, you've got to redo this whole system.
I am totally with you.
And I think we're part of the problem a little bit.
Ooh.
And that includes.
I ain't do nothing.
That includes.
I didn't do it. I was not in the negotiations.
We've done it. We've all done
those
it.
Those are your billionaire friends.
Facts.
No.
Facts.
We're part of the problem because.
And hams. Let's not pretend like hams
that's
not
that's
rich.
Fact. That's
and,
good.
And I do this.
You guys
And
are
I got to check myself because when people complain about Vivek going into the tax, we say, well, what's he going into the tax for? For an eighth seed? You don't go into. No. Go into the tax for an eighth seed. Like, go do it. Go spend this whole thing is about winning as much as possible.
No, don't do that because it wasn't going.
Okay, Lake Show.
That was crazy.
What the hell is that all about?
It wasn't going to the tax for an eight seed. It was don't go into the tax for Buddy Hield.
Right.
Like that's what it was. Don't go into the tax for a 30 seed. If you're fighting for the eighth and you feel like, you know, we can build upon this, yeah, absolutely. I'm with you 100%. Go into the tax. If you're a 35 win team. Yeah, maybe not, but you know, I know that's probably a little less than what Atlanta was last year. But you had an off season now where it's like, hey, you finally did something. Like, okay, you finally did something. You finally did something for Trey, and now it's like, maybe we don't want to do that.
They use the tax as a crutch. I'm not with that aprons.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to use it as a crutch, but I understand like you can't do certain things
totally
with roster wise with aprons. I think that's just awful, right? But I can understand that. The tax shouldn't be no crutch. I don't want to pay a couple extra dollars. Like, no, I'm not trying to hear that.
If I told you this year the Hawks went to the conference finals, would you be shocked?
No.
Me neither.
See, that's why, and this is owners and general managers taking the power that LeBron James gave players back. Like, LeBron James really ushered in the player empowerment era. And if you go back to, you know, I'm coming home in 2014, 15. He signed a one-year contract.
Right.
He signed what was essentially a 1+1.
Yeah.
And said, yeah, you guys were like $14 million under the cap last year. We're not doing that again this year. And, you're going to sign me. You're going to make this trade for Kevin Love. Oh, sweetie, that's not all you're going to do. You're going to go get J.R. Smith. Yep. You're going to go get Amon Shumpert. You're going to go get Timofey Mozgov. And when their contracts are up, you're going to renew them at a higher rate that you were going to. Oh, by the way, pay Tristan Thompson $90 million because he's my best screen setter here. So you went from being $14 million under the cap to $21 million over the cap and having to pay all of the taxes that go along with that, mm-hmm. all because LeBron said, I will sign a one-year deal. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to prove to me that you're going to spend. So Dan Gilbert spent. They went to the NBA Finals. Dan Gilbert spent again. They won an NBA championship. Dan Gilbert kept spending. They went to two more NBA Finals until LeBron went to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And that now teams are like, well, guys, these aprons.
Yeah.
And he's right. Jason Jones has been saying this for years. The owners have been trying to find a way. They can't police themselves. They need someone else to do it. And they may have finally created like the ultimate handcuffs with these second aprons. And now they can look at a guy and go, like Trey and go, sorry. You can look at a guy like Giddy or Kuminga and go, market ain't there for you, homie. Here's 8.2.
Yeah.
Next year, that's the best mm-hmm. we could do. Or, you know, you could sign a multi-year deal for, you know, a four-year deal for $40 million instead of the $85 million in life-changing money you thought you were going to get.
Yeah,
I think the interesting thing is basically what they've done is they've constricted every team. So there's only one or two teams every offseason that has any money. And like the Nets, they're going to hold on to it. They're going to try to cherish that little bits of money that they have because next season it's going to be very similar. And all these players that are trying to get their money right now, they're going to be available again next season. There's a good chance that one-year deals or taking the qualifying offer. But like what your point is, like if there's no where the Knicks or Golden State or anyone else can go get Trey, the fact is that there aren't any teams that can go get Trey.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a team,
not outright anyway,
you shouldn't be paying. Like you should look at him and say, look, you can't go get the money that you want anywhere. So why do we need to pay you that money? Like 45
corporate
is
corporate James.
No, but
yeah, really, who's dealing with the owners now?
No, it's supply and demand. It's like, hey, look, there is nowhere that's going to pay you that money. You go ahead and find somebody who's going to pay you that money.
Okay, release me.
And then
I
we
can't
can have
because
that
I'm under contract with you.
No, he's got
release
a player option next year.
Yeah, he's
no,
got
no, release
a player
me
option.
Now. I want the extension. I'm extension eligible now.
Well,
you don't
want
to give it to me now. Release me.
But he's under contract this season.
Release me.
Yeah.
Release me. If there's nobody that's going to give me money and nobody that's going to maneuver to make sure I can get this money, release me now so I can go be a free agent and sign with whoever I want.
Yeah, don't do that.
Because then I got to stretch.
I don't think you'll be having
never
any money.
Money.
Yeah, don't do that.
But to that
but
point,
they still got
to
pay
okay,
him, though.
Okay, but,
well, that's
now,
the, see,
but,
that's the
but now you're releasing him. Now you're stretch provisioning him. And now there's no money out there. And you go, okay,
see,
even if he can re-sign, which I don't know if he can.
Can't.
But he can't. Then even if he could re-sign, okay, well, now we can't pay you because we just stretch provision you. We're giving you all that money. So the contract's going to be even lower. Like that. So that wouldn't...
It wouldn't help
so
him.
Here's where I think James... I think James is 100% right now. Right now, today, you're 100% right. I think you start getting to February and you start approaching February 6th or 7th or whatever that day mm-hmm. is, and agents start asking, hey, what's going on with Trey?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're not trading him. Oh, then you start having general managers going, hey, let's move off. And it's the contract that's Isaiah Hartenstein now, mm-hmm. because that will open up. And obviously I picked a terrible example, but that's $30 million. That's going to mm-hmm. open up some money for us this offseason
mm-hmm.
or find another. Hey, let's look on moving off a couple. How could we clear cap space to see if we could sign Trae Young? Trae Young is a guy, we can't acquire him through trade right now, but if this is the route that's happening in Atlanta, I think there would be teams that cleared space for Trae Young. I think the prospect of that is a little dicier than it used to be, but mm-hmm. there's still Danny Ainge out there.
Yeah, but we talked
about still, not Bobby, but Sean Marks out there.
We talked about it, though, earlier where, like, the Kings were at least approached by Atlanta about a trade for Trae Young. And it was with the understanding that the second he landed in Sacramento, he wanted his extension.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the King
said, I would have given it to him.
And the King said, oh, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, and, they'll be looking for a Trae Young.
I would have done that in a heartbeat. Like, I don't. Yeah. Like, Trey's not my favorite player. I don't know what I'm missing with Trae Young. He's an elite scorer.
Mm-hmm.
He led the league in assists last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's been playing on an ass basketball team for the most part for his entire career. What?
He's not a perfect.
I think
basketball
team is a good word that you should start using.
There you go. Well, you can have it. That's more your bag. You're the pun guy.
Well, you know.
He's not a perfect player by any means, but I do know that you're listening to ESPN 13.
It's not new.
Rig the game.
It's unbelievable.
Hold on, and there's a really good chance he was going to butcher that too. It seemed like he was ready to crumble.
Talking about KFM West Sacramento, KRXQ HD2 Sacramento, ESPN 1320, Sacramento sports leader, always free on the Odyssey app.
Give me negative one.
Give me.
Hey,
no.
Penalty?
Hey, no. Oh, give me mine.
Hey,
give me mine.
Kenny Genty, he got minus one.
He's got as many points as
Genty
Cowboys. Genty got yards.
Bro's got a clock right in front of him and just no respect for the game.
Hey, do you know what was really funny?
50-second buffer.
If you're listening on the radio, you couldn't clock this. If you were watching, you might have clocked this. At about 11:59:15, everybody kind of kept going like, is he going to wrap up talking to him?
I implemented the rule. There's a 15-second window.
Oh, my goodness.
15-second window.
To be clear, there's actually a 5-minute window. It's 55:05, but that's fine.
No, but for the sake of our game,
it starts at noon. That's right.
Game
that's
starts
right.
at noon.
That's
you, dunked, right. you dunked before tip off.
KC though, again making history, the first player to ever get negative points.
Hey, we're gonna review that'll be in the last 2-minute report. The last 5-minute report.
He lives the embodiment of Jesse Ventura's old color commentary with Vince McMahon. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Yeah, I was about to say, was that Jesse or the brain?
I think it was Jesse. Yeah.
I think you're right.
You ain't trying if you ain't cheating. What is it? You ain't trying if you ain't cheating.
You ain't cheating if you cheating if you ain't trying.
There was something else I heard.
I think it's the other way.
One time
you
we were
cheating,
doing
you ain't trying.
We were doing
That's
this.
That's it.
We were doing
Thank
this
you.
Trivia game when I was at 95.7. This is a great guru story. We're doing this trivia game.
Is there a bad guru story?
No,
by
yeah,
the way.
The fact the fact he didn't come on the show twice.
He big leagued you twice.
Oh, that's tough.
I'm messing with my dog. I'm messing
that's
with
him. But no, that was the
he
only
was,
thing on the rundown
scheduled.
That day was Guru.
He
didn't show up.
That was the day. That was like.
Didn't everybody flake on you that day?
Yeah.
That was crazy.
It was going to be Kenny and friends. He's like, now it's just Kenny.
I think I rolled up a half hour early to help
that's
out.
True. That's true. That did happen.
Yep. Yep.
But we're playing this like trivia game. And Goo knew some random, like old baseball thing. And everybody's like, how did you know? And we can see because he's sitting back to us behind the glass. We can see his computer. And my man is just Googling away. And so finally, like, we get on and we're like, Goo, you got to stop with the Google. He's like, what? No. And so it goes through this whole thing. We finally get, and he goes, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Shout out to my boy Guru, man. That's my dog.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I had another bone to pick.
Wow.
He's not there.
Wow.
Ref ain't looking. The ref has turned his back.
It's right there.
Turned his back. It's something we've talked about before, but I'll bring it up again. I think Domas is in the Zach LaVine category when you talk about an albatross of a contract. Like we talk about Zach LaVine. The resumes are the same. The production is about the same stat-wise. I think they're on the same.
I'm in your camp on this.
Like if you bring up Zach LaVine and talk about now they've got a contract they can't trade, you should be contractually obligated to bring up Domantas Sabonis saying you've got two that are very difficult to trade.
I agree with you. I'm with Kenny.
I think there's three of us that think Domas has a bad contract.
Three? Jesse?
I don't. I'm going to say I don't think he has a bad. I mean, I think it's pretty close to what the market
was
value
it, 42,
is.
42, 45, 47?
I think it ends up at 49.
Okay.
It's
45, 47. So that would be
45, 47, 49. Yeah, how many years does he have left?
It's got to be three, right?
Well, it goes into 2027. I know that.
Yeah, he got three left.
Yeah.
Once again, good ball player. Just like I think Zach LaVine is a good ball player.
43-6, 46-7, mm-hmm. and 49-9 in 2027.
Okay. Yeah, this is not about who's good and who's not. It's about contract sizes and how those fit into the scope of a team.
Yeah.
And the player that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Like, Zach LaVine is a good player.
Mm-hmm.
You would not look at Zach LaVine as, like, lead us to the promised land or even lead us to the playoffs.
Right, but he's making that kind of money.
Right. I think Domas is in that category.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Let's also... Sorry, Ham, go ahead.
I would definitely say, like, again, if Zach LaVine's making $35 million, I don't have any problem with Zach LaVine. It's that extra $15 million that just restricts you so much that you can't pull off this trade for Kuminga without, like, shuffling a bunch of players. I mean, even... Like, the De'Aaron Fox deal was just so much better than LaVine's contract.
But are you evaluating Zach LaVine the player or Zach LaVine's contract?
I think
they're... Like, what do you think of Zach LaVine the player?
I don't hate Zach LaVine the player. He's a very efficient scoring guard. He doesn't play defense. That's a problem. Mm-hmm. But in order to build a defense around him, you have to have that extra money, and you don't. And so it's really difficult, like, just for sake of argument. Let's say that the Kings had $26 million this offseason to go get a point guard as opposed to $14 million. And that's the difference between, you know, the contract that you had before and the contract you have now. If he was making $35 million, it just would have made – it would make life much easier.
I think Ham is correct. My argument is you can switch the names and have the same dialogue. If Sabonis was making $35 million a year, it'd be a much better situation. Agree. To go get a point guard or whatever you need. Sabonis doesn't play defense like Zach LaVine doesn't play defense.
No, it's not the same.
And he's not a rim protector.
He's not a rim protector, but he ranks as one of the best post defenders in the league.
For all the post guys in the league.
but I mean, like, look, I get the comparison, right, contractually, but, like, the Kings took a leap from 30 to 48 wins in Sabonis' first year. Sabonis helped that team win games. It's not, I mean, he leads the league in rebounding every year. He improved as a three-point shooter. Like, all of these things that he's done, like, I'm not saying he's a perfect player, but let's be honest, he's still considered in the NBA right now a top 20 player. And a top 20 player gets $42 million.
That got all the stats, too.
So, okay, so what conversation are we having about Trae Young then? Because Trae Young's not a top 20 player?
Oh, he definitely is.
He's probably between 20
he's
and 30.
He's won a playoff series.
Yeah. Yeah,
I do not think we live in a world where Domantas Sabonis is better than Trae Young.
I agree too.
Ugh. I mean,
what has Domas done that Trae Young hasn't that makes you think Domas is better than Trae Young?
Well, I mean,
boy, I feel like we're jumping James right now.
he's made All NBA. Has Trae made All NBA?
We looked at that. I think maybe one year.
I don't think he has.
I don't think he has.
No, I think he did 1 year because he needed two to get the Fox.
Right.
He made it 1 year.
Mm.
No, he needed two to get a bigger than Fox 21 extension.
21-22, he was third team All NBA.
So, he needed the other one to get the essentially the Luka extension that he didn't get. I guess the Jalen extension.
And hey, I don't hate Trae Young as a player. I compare him he's the point guard version of Zach LaVine. Like, he doesn't play defense at all. And in order to play a player like him, you have to build a team specifically around him. And I think he's in the perfect spot because I think Dyson Daniels is incredible and the perfect fit next to him.
Is Jalen the only one who signed that psycho contract?
Jalen
Brown. Is he the only one?
No.
Who's the other
Tatum
one?
Tatum also too, right? got one.
Tatum did too. Okay.
That might be the only two, though.
Okay.
SGA?
SGA got the 2 year extension. But no, they got the 2 year extension.
Oh, okay.
Jalen got the, was it the 5 year, $300-something million
contract? I'm working on
that. That's the one that Luka was eligible for, and Dallas was like, nah.
Might have been those two.
Jason Tatum, 5 and 313.
Yeah.
Jalen. That was Tatum. Jalen's 5 and 285. Jokic 5 and 276.
Jalen was 285.
Jokic could do it next
year. Yeah.
Oh, and then Shea just got that crazy deal.
Shea got the plus two, didn't he?
4 and 272.
Didn't Shea get plus two or plus three?
He got plus two, yeah.
Yeah.
The Celtics signed those two deals and said, we can't own this team
anymore. See, that's the, and that goes back to the original conversation. is the second Jason Tatum, because he was the second one that signed that contract. It's immediately like, well, what are they going to do? And before the playoffs even started, it was like, well, who's getting traded this offseason? And salute Brad Stevens. He was like, all right, Drew's gone. Porzingis is gone. I'll figure everything else out from here. Yeah. Have to get rid of those two, though.
And Simons might be gone.
I mean, and in the fact, I mean, that's the fact that he landed an expiring contract for what they're trying to accomplish holiday. It's pretty, like, Brad Stevens might be a Hall of Famer just for this offseason alone.
He's a better exec than he is a head coach, and he's a really good head coach.
He's a great head coach.
Like, those two players that he got rid of, diminishing returns all over the place. There's no way that they're going to live up to their contracts.
I was shocked they got any kind of value for those.
Drew and Porzingis?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, Porzingis can't stay healthy at all, and Drew's stats just keep
tumbling. We thought Porzingis might die. Like, I'm just glad my man's okay.
I was like, hey, he has this mysterious breathing illness where he can't last more than 5 minutes.
And the way Joe Mazzola talks, it's like, yeah, no, he can't breathe. Joe, what? What?
Although Joe's like, survival of the fittest. What are you going to do?
Yeah, anyway, we haven't seen Porzingis.
Well, it's true. We haven't.
Apparently.
Well,
apparently,
I think he did do an interview. He's like, oh, I feel great.
Apparently, he's fine now. And they go, oh, what was wrong? Don't know.
This is a deep fake Porzingis.
Yeah, go ahead and run me a sprint real quick.
Hey, here's just because I was scrolling these contracts. There's some insane contracts in the NBA right now. Evan Mobley got 5 years, $269 million.
Yeah.
5 year, 26. Oh, my God.
Franz Wagner got 5 and 224. Scotty Barnes, the face of the NBA, 5 and 224.
Scotty Barnes?
Yeah, but look at those.
It's kind of nuts. I'm sorry, not to cut you off. It's kind of nuts that Steph Curry and Brock Purdy make the same annually.
That's crazy.
On their contract.
And they took money away from Steph.
They did. Steph lost $5 million this year.
Yeah.
Give me that.
Yeah, I just really do think the NBA, you're going to be a lot more like, no one is just getting a rubber stamp like extension from here.
I don't think it's a good thing.
I don't think it is either.
I
think it lends itself to more Kuminga, Thomas, Giddey situations and Trae Young situations than it does to, hey, this guy has done this in his career, pay him what the market says to pay.
You know what I think it lends itself to? A work stoppage.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Yeah.
If we're talking about, we've seen contract extensions drop by a certain percentage, when that collective bargaining agreement comes up, it's like, no. We're fixing this.
Yeah, they built in collusion with their rules.
Right.
Like, they just did the rules. Like, collusion. No, they're aprons.
Yeah.
Like, what? Can't do that.
Aprons and qualifying offers.
Yeah. It already feels like there's an incentive for teams to kind of root against their own guys with the All-NBA stuff. And now it really feels like there's incentive for them to be able to be like, hey, you had a bad year. We'll extend you as a favor. But
where that starts to get dicey is, not that he would ever, but I'm using real life examples. Hey, James, it's Scott. Like, I know you got that all NBA vote, but, you know, he wasn't good enough for.
Oh.
You know.
Yeah. First of all, I don't have an all NBA vote.
No, he doesn't, and James would never.
Right.
And Scott would never.
Right.
But
it opens the door for that.
But with Joe Dumars. You know what I mean?
I thought you were going to use a different Joe.
I'll be honest. Like, Scott
or
Howard.
Or that one.
Scott Howard Cooper used to complain about this all the time. Legendary writer here in Sacramento, NBA.com and everything else. He was very clear. He said, I fully disagree with the media have any say in All-NBA.
Yep.
And MVP, all this stuff. He's like, because we directly impact their ability to make money.
Yeah. Yep.
I think the Hall of Famer says he doesn't vote. Mark Spears,
yeah.
Yeah.
I ain't getting into all that. Yeah. And before it was like.
You imagine having to look one of those guys in the face like, hey, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, it that cost you $30 million.
Hey, you know, you don't get this type of extension as an All-NBA guy. Now it's like, you just might not get your next contract.
Right.
Like, your next team may not even look at you a certain way because you're not an all NBA.
Says a lot about Jesse's boy Bill Simmons that he loves having his vote.
What the hell was that?
That is his boy.
That is not Jesse's boy. Yeah. That is his boy.
No, that's
what?
Jesse's boy.
That's your boy? I'm sorry. Which that's side my are you fault. On? That is, I just took the Boston thing.
No, no, you had it right
guys
the first
all good.
Time.
No, that's my
one. Well, it's Casey's boy. He lives in LA now.
That's
that's how you do that.
Okay. Lake Show. Show. Wow. Oh. The second time. Wow.
Wow.
Okay. Lake Show.
Yeah, on whose side
is
he? Very good.
Did I use that right?
No, you did. You're doing great.
Kyle, do you know your drop? Do you remember it?
Kaminga Watch.
Hit the, hit, press the one next to the Kaminga Watch. Press the button right next to it.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Press the button, Kyle.
I love do Barry it. Jones. Oh, come on. Oh, come on.
Press the button.
That's tough.
All right.
The player's got work. Tough.
What is this?
I think that's a shoot.
Real quick, I know we got you have a show to start.
That's fine. This is fun. This is way more fun than whatever we're going to do when you leave.
This is going to
also, if you leave too early, I'm making you come back. So just understand that's how Fridays work.
Okay, perfect.
A lot better than talking about the four cities in the U.S.
Okay, I'm just moving to the left on these buttons now.
Okay.
Okay.
It's time now for the handoff. Taking the handoff from James and Kyle today, here's Jesse Tapia.
Okay, that's just that one. Okay. All right, what's this one?
Depends on whose hand.
Wait, what'd she say? Do it again.
I didn't even
depends
know.
Depends on whose hand.
That's not.
How did that make the board?
Say depends that's on not, whose hand?
That's not my drop.
That's crazy. That's on your board.
What happened that day?
I have no idea.
What happened that day? We're like, put that one on the board.
Is that Trista?
That is Trista.
And hang on. This is the last one I'm going to click because of the words on the thing. I just got to know.
Okay.
Allow me to expose my colon once again.
Yeah. I'll let it ride.
Okay. No, oh, you want me to play the whole thing?
It would have been fun.
Okay.
Allow me to expose my colon once again.
Yeah.
The ramification inflicted on the incision placed within the fallopian cavities serves to be holistic, taken from the Latin word jalapeno.
Why do you have that entire 20 seconds?
I don't remember.
On your soundboard.
Somebody
your
was talking about somebody.
Show.
I do remember.
Okay.
Kyrie Irving was going a little crazy.
Oh, no.
Now so we were running boy, that one.
I remember somebody was talking crazy. Not I guess
my
it was
boy, Kai.
Kyrie, man.
Oh,
the flat earth stuff.
I love Kai. I love Kyrie.
Man.
Absolutely
amazing.
Love
that's
him.
That's my boy, man. Yeah, shout out Kyrie.
Yeah, but he does that sometimes.
Oh,
and
for sure.
I think we just cut those clips and we're like,
that's really good.
Here's more from Kyrie Irving.
That's really good.
Here's more.
Did you, we're vibing now. Did you guys see this today?
I saw the transcript.
I didn't.
I haven't seen
this
the video.
This is one of the saddest things I've ever heard a person say.
Okay.
This is Shams Charania on the Sports Reporter.
The hell with his friends, too.
On ESPN.
Okay.
Talking about work-life balance with Jeremy Schapp.
Yep.
Shams Charania.
Yep.
Adam Schefter.
Yep.
And Jeff Passan. Here's what Shams said.
I've had to walk out on dates. Like, I've had to walk out on, like, social events, a lot of social events.
Very well.
My friends don't really like me. You know, that's why it's very hard to have a consistent relationship because it's just like, you know the time that that requires and you know the time that they deserve rightfully. And there are just moments where I'm just always going to choose this as of right now.
Hey, man, Adam Schefter and Jeff Passan are both married with children. Their faces during this are like...
Yeah, no, we...
Yeah.
But
how old is
29?
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's young. He might be 30 now.
Yeah, handle business this way.
But here's my thing with this.
Maybe in your 20s, it doesn't matter.
But when I first saw that, I'm like, dude, work-life balance. Like, you got to figure... But Adam Schefter cut his teeth as a beat writer in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Schefter is a writer first. Jeff Passan is a writer.
Yeah,
they both. Schefter writes less now, and he's more of a newsbreaker. But Jeff Passan legit writes still,
right.
And breaks news as well. This is all Shams does. All Shams does. Shams. So if Jeff Passan doesn't get a scoop, that's fine. He's going to make some calls. He's going to write a bomb article about this trade that happened. He didn't get it first, but Adam Schefter. He didn't get it first, but you know what? He's going to have contract details. He's going to get additional things to report. Shams, if he doesn't have it first, he doesn't have anything.
Yeah.
I've told like every young reporter, there are a couple of things I talk to them about when they start doing this job. Number one, watch what you eat, because we all get out of the arena at 11:30, 12 o'clock at night, and you're hungry. You ate dinner before the game. That was now 6 hours ago. And you're like, man, I'm just going to roll into Taco Bell.
Jack in a crack.
Yeah, God bless Taco Bell. But what it does to your body is just nuts. And there's so many beat writers that are morbidly obese that are struggling. It's so tough. Every season I gain like 15 to 20 pounds, and then I've got to fight to lose it in the offseason. It gets more and more difficult as you get older. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is find a partner that believes in what you're doing, because if you don't, you're going to get divorced. Because that's the other thing with beat writers. So many of them are divorced, and it's you have to have a partner that is in it and believes in you chasing your dream. Yep. Because if not, you're absolutely not going to survive. Yep. That relationship's not going to survive. How many times I've sat at a restaurant and had to pull up my laptop and start working a story? Mm-hmm. You know, I left my kids at the movie theater because I went to set down popcorn and soda, grab napkins, grab straws. I look at my phone and DeMarcus Cousins might get traded. I had it confirmed within 30 seconds. I walked into theater, handed my wife popcorn, handed her a soda, and said, I'll be back to pick you guys up when the movie's over. I got to go, right? Cousins is getting traded. And that's the job. And it's tough, you know, especially for a single guy, but it's tough.
But you are in a job now that allows you to separate from it.
That's the biggest thing that I've done specifically this year.
Yeah.
I have allowed myself to not let it like put me in a haze.
And Shams doesn't, because Doug McDermott might sign.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy to me.
Man, I got done with a season with NBC. I had written 550 stories, and I got to the end of the season, and I couldn't even think clear.
Mm-hmm.
I had to take a week off just to decompress, and I couldn't even function. Like, you're writing like 5 to 7 stories a day?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, your brain can't handle it. Like, it's too much information going in. And I'm not talking about aggregating. I'm talking about original content, original, you're there. You're the one who's telling the story mm-hmm. of what's happening. It just wears you out. Mm-hmm. And so I hope Shams finds the work-life balance, but I also hope that he finds a partner that believes and supports him in this adventure, because it's an awesome adventure,
mm-hmm.
but it absolutely kills your body. It kills your personal life. It kills everything. Unless, mm-hmm. you know, again, I have an amazing wife. I get done writing those stories. I hand it my laptop to her while we're at dinner. She edits and I post.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't find a better partner than that.
Mm-hmm.
So shout out to Sarah, but just, it's a tough job, I feel for him.
I would tell Shams, get one more bag. Get one more bag. You're still pretty young, big dog. Get one more bag. And then look to kind of maneuver life.
But that's the thing, though. Like, he doesn't know what he doesn't know.
Exactly.
Like, he doesn't have that partner yet. You know what I mean? Like, and you know, when you, Sarah, Jazz, Heather, like, when you get that partner, it changes the way you mm-hmm. think about work, changes the way you think about reporting, writing. It changes the way you think about everything except your partner and your family.
It's like, oh, there's more important things than this.
Yeah.
Well, like, that, and I think even with him, he's so protective with himself because he thinks people are trying to get stuff from him, trying to get information from him.
Yeah.
So when I sat next to him at a game, we didn't say maybe two words the entire game. He just sat there quietly doing his thing while everyone around him is talking. And I get it. It's a lonely life. Mm-hmm. Like, he is very, very isolated. And his best friend is an iPhone 16.
Yeah, he said my friends don't even like me.
It's that
and I'm sure his iPhone doesn't like him either.
Relatable, but dang.
Them friends need to calm down.
Yeah.
You mean you don't like them?
Can you imagine being homies with Shams? He's like, hang on, guys. Hey, I gotta check out of this conversation. Here's the news that's happening. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
And he goes and makes some problem, and he comes back. And
I think it'd get old. Like, yeah, bro, I don't care that Kevin Durant's going to the Rockets. Like, I was talking to you about something.
That's probably
I think
true.
It would get old really quick. Like, there'd become a certain point where, great, Shea signed an extension. I'm shocked.
Yeah, right.
How much of that $250 million do I get? None? Then listen to me tell my damn conversation. Let me tell you about what I do for a living. Let me tell you how much Kyle got on my nerves today. Sit down and listen to my story.
My friends don't like me.
Yeah.
No, it's... But at the same time, Shams, can you let someone else have the Doug McDermott signing. It's cool if Mark Stein breaks that one. After no one's going to think you're not the guy anymore.
After you sign the next deal.
Well, that and I mean, just film, then you can spread. Remember, Woj stepped aside because he went to Craig Mortensen's funeral, right?
Mm.
And he looked around Chris. Yeah. And he looked around and said, none of his colleagues are here. Yeah. None of the people that, and not only that, but there aren't 3 million Twitter followers sitting there at his funeral,
right.
You know, grieving his loss.
Yeah.
When you're gone, you're replaced and nobody cares. And that's the reality that Woj came to, and I get it.
Yeah.
Like, Woj probably has, absolutely. He's probably really happy with his life right now.
Oh, he's chilling.
Like, this is great.
I mean, plus all of the money that he made. I mean, I know so much was made about him passing up like $6 or $16 million or whatever it was. It's not like he was broke before. Like, he is. Made, yeah. But there's, and you know, one bit of sympathy I feel for Shams is he probably looks at it like, Woj is gone now. I can't relax. I can't get comfortable just because Woj is at St. Bonaventure now. Like I have to be on top of everything. Or Chris Haynes is gonna emerge or you know, Mark Stein's gonna you know, he's already very well respected. He could hit a different tier here.
Yeah.
He's probably thinking he has to work harder now that he's kinda in the game alone.
Well, but and Shams is really the only guy in the NBA in the lane that he's in. In this like national newsbreaker.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
There's no one else. Like Mark Stein does a little bit and Sam Amick does a little bit, but that's more like.
But Mark's also a writer.
Like, yeah. And those are more like hyper local, like to a specific thing. It's less national breaking type of news.
Well, even like Jake Fisher.
Yeah.
But again, like you have those moments where guys like they miss and then it becomes like, okay, well, Shams doesn't miss.
Mm hmm.
Right.
Well, he did famously shut the big three down and then just abandon that tweet with no explanation whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like, but your point, he doesn't really miss.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the key. Like, it's not an easy job. And like here on the radio, we talk a lot more about like hypothetical stuff than I ever would write. Like as a writer, like it very cut and dry. This is what I know and this is what I don't. Mm-hmm. Here we're allowed to say, hey, this is what I would do.
What if this? Yeah,
the what ifs and the, you know, the fake trades that we come up with. That like, but it's always with the caveat that we're just like spitballing here. What would I do if I were running an organization?
Totally.
It's way different when you're like so locked in. It's like, okay, it's nothing but straight news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pro tip for Shams. Find a partner who does the same exact thing you do. It goes a really long way. It goes a really long way.
Is it way easier?
Very helpful. Understands all the struggles.
Yeah.
Well, Kay wanted him, but he was married to the game.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what the streets were saying.
Oh, really? Dang. The
streets were saying Kay Adams.
That's tough.
He liked him. So
hey, there's
nothing.
Well,
I think there's
funny.
Video evidence that shows.
Hey, that was crazy. She
that
was just
wild.
I've never seen anything like
that.
Yeah. Hey, and he the whole time just no sold it. Like, bro, come on. Have you seen it's my favorite genre of tweet right now is screen cap of NFL player talking to Kay Adams.
No,
there's not
no.
a single one where they're not like just cheesing.
Kay the new Taylor Rooks.
Yeah.
Well,
I think she's Taylor. Like, they be cheesing for Kay. They just lie with Taylor. Taylor's a one-of-one. She's a one-of-one. They just say
the
anything.
The podcast with Taylor Rooks are crazy.
They just say anything. I might be president.
I don't know if you saw it. I averaged 48 a game last year.
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
48 and a half minutes. That's my goal for next year. I'm gonna break that Will Chamberlain record. 48.6 minutes per game.
I got to play, coach. Purposely going to overtime.
Yeah, right.
What do you guys got coming up on TRKC?
I don't know. My laptop's over there.
They're like, he's throwing games. No, I'm not. Yeah. I promise. I'm trying to win.
Do you want to talk 49ers football for a little bit?
Yeah, we can do that. Okay. It's on our rundown.
Okay, great. Well, it'd be the first time you did it in 2.5 hours. So
yeah,
awesome.
No, we had a great conversation today. I don't feel like we missed out. So D'Lo and KC coming up next right here on ESPN 1320. Sacramento Sports Leader. Drink water, be nice people.